This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this special podcast episode of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, joined with a real friend here, Lance Lang.
Yes.
And hey, Lance.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Good to see you.
Great. And we're here to talk about Lance's new book, 10 Years Sober. Now, Lance, many people know you're a ministry founder and ministry life coach and motivational speaker and, and all these different things.
Pastor's kid. Baptist pastor's kid, right?
But author, this is a new book for you, but you've written other books as well.
I have, yeah. This is number 5. Yeah.
Well, tell us all about it.
Sure. Well, I'm pretty proud of this one, maybe most proud, because I'd taken a few years off from writing, and the ministry's just exploded, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on at Hope is Alive. But I just felt like this was a milestone for me. 10 years sober was such a huge dream, and could I get there? And I was just never really questioning my sobriety, but it was just a big milestone. It's a mountaintop moment, and I'm a guy that wants to believe in celebrating everything, and so I figured if we're going to celebrate so many milestones in other people's lives, then we should step back and celebrate this moment in mine, really point it all back to God and what He can do in people's lives. And that's really what the book is. It's 10 chapters that really chronicle each year of my sobriety and what God did, what I learned. You know, writing 4 other books, it kind of helps to be able to draw back on those experiences over the last 10 years. And I'm a journaler, and so I had a lot of just writings throughout the last 10 years. And, you know, it's not all mountaintop moments. But there's a lot of peaks and a lot of valleys, and I talk a lot about the struggles that I had, the folks that were close to me that we lost to addiction and that overdosed and died, and several different instances like that. And then kind of culminating the last 3 years in my wife and I's fertility journey as well, and kind of walking through that. And really, it's a message for those that are in sobriety, for sure, those that are looking to be in sobriety, but also, I think, what I would call normal people, right? Folks that aren't necessarily impacted by addiction, but love to see a comeback story. And that's really what I believe is woven throughout the whole book.
Wow, 10 years to think what God's done and the places He's taken you. You know, Lance, as you reflect, what are some of the things that have most carried you year by year, day by day, hour by hour, really, through this journey?
Yeah, I think there's 2 big things. It's kind of the first couple chapters. Number one, realizing early on that my story was my secret weapon, and realizing that God had given me an incredible story. And by the way, I believe everyone has an incredible story of salvation, of transformation, of God's grace in their lives. But I just felt like from the very first days of being in a rehab center 10 years ago in the summer of 2011 and realizing that the way I had been brought up, the struggles that I had had, the disappointments and the decisions that I had made, that God could and would weave all that together for good if I was willing to go out and tell that story. And so that's one thing. I was always trying to be willing to tell the story. I've told my story, Brian, I mean, probably close to 1,200 times in the past 10 years in every Baptist church, probably in Oklahoma in some way, shape, or form. And secondly, you know, it kind of culminates with that is just the power of saying yes. And just saying yes, I wrote about it in my first book. I write about it in this book as well. I believe that God does amazing things through our obedience, and our willingness to say yes to what He's putting in front of us. And kind of the challenge of you never know what's on the other side of that yes. And I think that's just kind of culminates and tells my whole story in one sentence. Just say yes to what God puts on your heart.
Well, we celebrate with you.
Thank you,
and
sir.
We're thankful. You know, Lance, I think you have, by your life story and your ministry, you've knocked down some barriers that might have been there before in church life or Baptist life about people who are themselves or have a family member struggling in some area like this, like addiction. It was maybe taboo before to admit that. How has God used you sharing to help others through breakthrough?
Well, you're giving me the Holy Spirit goosebumps just saying that, because and it gets me emotional, because this really was a challenge in my life. I felt like God maybe not chose me, but certainly was willing to use my story to take the mask off of this subject. And really my family's as well. You know, our family's pretty inundated in the Baptist community here in Oklahoma and have been for generations and generations. And this was a taboo subject, I think, even 10 years ago. I think the advent of social media has helped a little bit that, now that we're able to see everyone's struggles pretty much out there if they're willing to share. But I was able and willing to step into a lot of platforms and talk about stuff that was dirty, it was messy, it was uncomfortable, and it was things that people didn't want to admit about not only the people next to them, but their own family. And I think there's power in seeing someone share transparently and with vulnerability about the depths and the valleys that they've got to, and then point it all back to God's goodness and His grace. And I hope that we've been able to inspire hope in people over the last 10 years, you know, regardless of your denominational background or whatever it might be. But getting in there and speaking in front of churches, telling people that there's hope, telling people that it's not their fault, telling them that God loves them right where they are, and that He has a plan for their life. That's what happened to me, and that's what I hope that we're able to pass on to others.
Well, it's definitely been a great ministry.
Thank you.
And we mentioned Hope is Alive a mm-hmm. minute ago. Could you take some time and update our viewers on what all's the latest?
Absolutely. Well, I'm so thankful for the Baptist community here in Oklahoma and beyond, because we were really born and birthed out of so many churches and so many pastors and supporters believing in Hope is Alive 8 years ago. I founded the ministry February of 2013 with one house and five guys here in Oklahoma City. In a dream, really. And today I'm excited to share that at the end of October, we'll have 24 homes open in 10 cities in 5 states. And by then, hopefully over 200 residents in the program. And so God's done an incredible work over the past 8-plus years. We have 40-plus staff members. 90% of them are graduates of our program. And so as sad as it is to say that the need is so great, it's just the reality that we're living in, especially in a post-COVID world. We're seeing so many people that are beginning to come out of everything that we experienced over the past 18 months and realize that there's things that aren't right about themselves, about their family members, that there's mental health struggles, that there's habits that they picked up along the way that have turned into addictions. And so here we are again, you know, post-opiate epidemic, but now in the post-COVID world, and we're here, I believe, for such a time as this, yet again, to help people. And so I'm excited that God is using us in such a dramatic and exponential way. At the same time, just trying to keep my hands on the wheel as we grow this thing. And truly, Brian, we could put a home in any city in America, and it would be very relevant and needed. And so just trying to trust the Holy Spirit and where He guides us next. But here, right here in Oklahoma, I'm excited to share that one of our next homes will be in Claremore, Oklahoma, partnering with First Baptist Church Claremore there, and Pastor Keith Wigginton and all the staff. So thankful for all those folks.
Well, it's awesome, and it's been a joy to see it grow and flourish, and in your leadership and energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're an energetic guy, Lance, and just the way you've been so transparent. I mean, you could have airbrushed your story or tried to move on, but your vulnerability has inspired people and just helped families. So thinking about, you know, the joy of a life of sobriety, you know, the devil kind of tricks people into thinking sin is the fun and following God's the joyless life.
That's totally right.
But I think in your story, people see the real joy is walking with God.
That's right. Yeah, and I appreciate you seeing that as well. We want to make sobriety look fun, and it is, and feel fun. But that's really what we're trying to say in a different way, is that living in true relationship with Jesus Christ is actually a passionate life. It's an exciting life. It's a life on the front lines. It's an adventure, and it's not always, you know, sunshine and unicorns, but it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
It's worth it every time, and it's a life of joy. And that's really what I hope that we've been able to inspire in people, as they see Hope is Alive residents worshiping. And they're like, wow, what is this? What is this contagious joy? What's the gospel in action? They were once dead, and now they're alive again. And when we see that encounter with a recovered drug addict and somebody that's come to the Hope is Alive program, I believe it's just contagious, and people want more of it. And that's a culture that I'm excited and proud that we've been able to build. But what it truly is the power of the Holy Spirit working through people's lives and awakening them again to the love of our Father. And I mean, being a believer should be exciting. It
Absolutely.
Should be full of joy. You know, we were lost. We were bound in sin. We were, you know, enslaved to substances, and now we're free.
That's right.
And that should look good.
Yeah.
You know, it should be exciting. It should be something that somebody looks at and says, I want more of that.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's what my life looks like.
That's awesome. Lance, how can people get a copy of the book and connect it with you?
Well, everyone's favorite website, Amazon.com.
Right.
So you can go to Amazon, just type in Lance Lang or 10 Years Sober, and you can find it there. Or you can always go to LanceLang.com and pick up that book, 10 Years Sober, or any of the rest of mine as well.
Outstanding. Well, Lance, we we want to talk a little bit about this concept of hope, you know, mm-hmm. the biblical virtue, the biblical quality of hope. Yeah. That word just comes up again and again. Why are people so hungry for hope?
Something good is coming, yeah. right? I mean, that's the essence of it. It's hope is something I can expect. It's this expectation. Something good is coming. We have a hope in heaven. Something good is coming. We're heading somewhere better than we are today. I'm the kind of guy that needs something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And whether that's a trip, whether that's a concert, whether that's a worship service, whether that's an opportunity to tell my story, I'm someone that needs that. And early recovery was, man, I have a hope of a new life. And then it was, well, I have a hope in Jesus Christ that now my eternal salvation is secure, my eternal destination is secure. And I believe that whether people can verbalize that and put words around it or not, that's what they're really saying is, I need something greater than myself to look forward to save me, to help me. And that's why we as believers say that hope is alive, because we know that Jesus is alive in us. And so that's what I think it is. It's an essence of something good is coming, and we call that something Jesus.
Amen. Well, you mentioned a minute ago the messiness of it, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of people hearing this that maybe they're just someone in their family or a good friend, their life's in a mess, and you know, they've maybe been burned, or mm-hmm. that person said they were going to change but yeah. didn't. What would you want those people who are trying to help others to most know from this side of it, from 10 years down the road on this deal?
Don't give up. Just don't give up. Don't stop praying, and don't stop shining the light in the dark places. What I mean by that is continue to confront with love that what you're seeing in your spouse or your loved one or your brother or your son or your daughter is dangerous for their life, and that you love them in spite of their decisions, but that you're not pleased with them, that you're worried about them. Shine a light on it. I can think so many times about what my mom did in confronting me, what my wife Allison did to basically tell me, you can't be in my life anymore until you get clean. So many different instances. Those are people shining a light in my dark places. And eventually I believed that the light got bright enough, and at the right time, the right person intervened on me, and God came and rescued me. And so I encourage family members almost every day, Brian, because I get that question, you know, how do I change my loved one? How do I save him? Well, you don't, but you keep shining a light on it, and you keep praying for them and praying that God will bring them to a place where they have nowhere else to look but up.
I like that. That's powerful. You know, we've got a lot of young people in our culture that are maybe hearing that drugs are just fine, it's mm-hmm. no big deal, or dabbling in pornography and
sure.
these other addictive things. What would you want this Gen Z mm-hmm. to know about life in Christ and, yeah. and the clean life and the pure life? I mean, what yeah. are you seeing and hearing and wanting them to know?
You know, the good and the bad part of my story is that I've lived it all, and I'm not necessarily proud of any of that. But what it has given me is a secret weapon, like I talked about, to be able to share honestly with students or those that are experimenting with something that's taking their life down, and that the joy or the sense of belonging or the happiness that you might think you're having is only temporal, and it will only get worse. And what it actually leads to is isolation. When I found myself at the end of my drug addiction, I was alone, completely alone. Devastated. Everyone pushed out of my life. Literally borderline psychotic, holed up in a home, reclusive and alone, 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 alone. That's what sin takes you. It makes you feel like you're surrounded by people, but what it ultimately does is it's separating you to a place of isolation. It's what pornography does. It's what drugs and alcohol do. And so what you have to be really strong about is, what is your decision up front? Like, what is your ethos? What do you believe? What do you believe about yourself when you're surrounded by the people and you can be strong enough to make the right choice? Which, how do we do that when there's a marijuana shop on every corner, right? There's pornography on our phone. There's alcohol stores. I mean, it's everywhere. Liquor stores everywhere. Well, you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to be strong to know what your identity is and what he says about you, and that you're beloved, and that you're a new creation, and that you can transform your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I would tell them, is that there's power in that, and to keep going on that journey.
That's awesome. Lance, could you, and I don't know if you can give a name or not, but give us a story, an example of someone whose life was completely changed through Christ and the ministry. Someone you've had.
I could tell you hundreds.
Give us a story that maybe pops into your mind now that that people need to hear and take some inspiration from, Lance?
So Saturday, today, we're recording here on Monday or Tuesday, and so over the weekend somehow, sometime, we had all of our staff in. So it's 40-plus staff members, and what, like I said earlier, all of our staff are actually graduates of our program or residents that are in our program. And we were at our house, and we happened to have a swimming pool, and I just felt like God was moving me to say, hey, if there's anybody that hasn't taken that step, you know, you've asked Christ into your life, but you haven't taken that step for public baptism. A couple guys already had come to me, and they wanted to get baptized. Why don't you come forward right now, and we'll just do it spontaneously right here in front of all of our staff. And we had five guys get baptized at our house. And why am I saying that? Well, because every single one of them is an incredible comeback story. Every single one of them is a miracle. They were all full-blown drug addicts just a few years ago. One came from Pryor, Oklahoma, where I'm from.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk, and he sat there in the pool. I asked him, is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? He said, yes. I said, well, tell me how that happened. And he said, when I was living in Pryor, Oklahoma, and he starts telling me the story, I began to use drugs and alcohol, began to try to find my identity in that. When other friends tried to pull me into what they were doing, I didn't have my identity strong enough, and I felt a peer pressure time and time again. And it took me to a place where I thought God was not for me. I thought God was distant. I thought God was mad at me. And what I realized over the past couple of years, this young man said, is that actually God believes in me right where I'm at, and his hand of grace can reach me right where I'm at. And I realized that the power of Jesus Christ is really what's resurrecting me and giving me a life of freedom, and I want to proclaim that to everybody. And he said, I used to wear a jersey for the world, and today as I get baptized, I want to put on a jersey of God. How good is that?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, today, this is my moment of putting on the jersey. And so that's one of many, many stories I could tell you about guys and gals that have come through our program. We've seen over 250 salvations in just the past 5 years alone, over 150 baptisms.
Wow.
It's been unbelievable what God is doing. I say it all the time. I think we're the best-kept secret in Oklahoma, and God's doing an incredible work through our ministry, and we're really proud of it.
Amen. That's awesome. Well, Lance Lang, the new book is 10 Years Sober. Check it out at Amazon or lancelang.com. How can we, as we, with what's left of our time, Lance, give us something we can pray for y'all about as we finish the show today?
Well, we'd just be praying for wisdom and discernment as we make the decisions as to where to move the ministry forward and how to do that. The need is so overwhelming. Like I said, we get Facebook messages, phone calls every day from people saying, hey, we need a home here, we need a home here, we need a home here. In fact, I have this lady, if you go and look at any of my Facebook posts, she comments every single time, we need a home in Stephenville, Texas. And she's kind of creative and funny about it, but every single post she puts the thing, like about the baptism post the other day, and she goes, we have a pool in Stephenville, Texas. I mean, she's very creative.
That's good.
So the point is that we need, honestly, we need prayer as to how do we move forward. Where do we go? How do we do it? And that God would bring about leaders to help step into these new cities that can help Allie and I and our whole executive team begin to delegate and put strong leaders in place, because this mission is critical and it's needed. It's needed all across the country, and we need prayer and a lot of support to get there.
Awesome. We'll do just that. Well, Lance Lang, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks,
for the
Brian.
New book and sharing your story. God bless y'all.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.